whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bemidji Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. Points up and down the East Coast. We're waiting to talk to Nate Tice, I believe, in just moments here. Obviously, a lot of exciting stuff going on in Ashburn as the team is preparing to take on Tampa. I mean, this is a huge matchup. Mm. You know, one thing that I think is going to be a lot different. One thing that I think is going to be a lot different is having Kalijah Kancey for this Bucs defense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's football, man.
Yeah.
that's how it goes, dude. Right now, though, we're excited to have Nate Tice join us from Yahoo Sports and NFL Network. Nate, what's up, dude? How are you?
Not too much. Just trying to get ready for these wild card games, and I guess I have to do college football playoffs first. So I think that you'll wet my appetite a little bit before we get to wild card weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing very well.
You'll be ready for it, Nate.
Well, dude, I'll be ready. Don't worry.
I'm happy to do a little college before we move forward. You got Notre Dame, Penn State tonight, Ohio State, Texas tomorrow night. What are you expecting in both of them?
Oh, man, I think tonight's game is going to be a fist fight. You got two teams that have good defenses, Notre Dame and Penn State. Notre Dame wants to run the ball 50 times with their running backs. You know, some injuries there, but also their quarterback, Riley Thanks Leonard. On. And then Penn State's explosive, but it's all kind of, you know, shots. Like, it's not more sustained explosiveness. So I think, like any good football game, will come down to a few plays, but I think this one's going to be a slug fight. I think it's a race to 20 points. And it might be a quick one relatively for a college football game, yeah. Getting all the run plays in there, but we still might get the 45-minute bands at halftime, so maybe not too quick.
A lot of people may not like that game. I'm going to love it. I love to see teams that run the football down your throat, no matter what.
Good defense, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a classic there. And then, the other game, hopefully Quinn Ewers got his head on straight. I'll just say that, going on the other side of the ball. But I think that's going to be a fun one, too. Ohio State's really picked it up. They got just so much talent, and it's kind of pick your weapon. Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Buka, Andy's guys. Ohio State's defense is really good, so I'm kind of favoring Ohio State in that one just because I don't really trust Texas's offense all the way right now.
I mean, they've been on fire over these last 2 weeks, man. But after that Michigan game, I thought they were in trouble. But, hell, they found something.
They did. And just all the injuries that Ohio State had offensive line, but this isn't like the NFL and some of these blue-chip programs. It's like, oh, yeah, just drop in the next four-star, five-star guy we got. Yeah, he's a freshman or a sophomore, but it's not like he's some guy that you just signed off the street, you know? So that is one nice thing when you're at one of these big, big programs is it's next man up sometimes.
For sure. Now we've covered that stuff. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I can't wait to watch tonight and tomorrow. But here in Washington, by far the bigger story is what's going to happen Sunday night when the Commanders take on the Buccaneers. We are talking with Nate Tice. You can read his work over at NFL.com or Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on X at Nate_Tice, T-I-C-E. Nate, let's just start there, man. What do you think of this matchup, Commanders-Bucs?
Oh, man. You know, some of these games, these playoff games, we have a lot of repeat matchups. But, like, the thing with the Commanders and the Bucs game, it was week one, which might as well be 2 years ago in NFL terms. Everything is so week to week in the NFL and so month to month. And you had a rookie quarterback making his first professional start going against a blitz-happy defense, not the easiest defense to go against. And I think that's first and foremost where I go, where my eyes go, because anytime you play against the Bucs, there is going to be Todd Bowles' defense and how blitz happy he is. And writing about it this week, I kind of did a little deep dive on it, and the Bucs blitz more than any team on record in Next Gen Stats' is kind of database, which goes back to 2016. On third and fourth down, they've blitzed more than any team that we've ever seen in the NFL. Two-thirds of the time, they'll blitz on third and fourth down. Jane Daniels in week one against the blitz, he went 5-9 for 45 yards, got sacked a couple times. He was pressured 9 of 11 of those dropbacks. But since then, Jane's been one of the better quarterbacks against the blitz. He's 8th in dropback success rate since week one, 3rd in EPA per dropback, which is a stat I like to look at. But he'll scramble a good amount too, and the Bucs can be susceptible to scrambles because blitzing, you might lose your contain lanes, and you might lose yourself trying to get after the quarterback. So to me, that's kind of a fun strength versus strength kind of thing, where it's kind of who it's a gash or be gash world. Is it Jaden scrambling, hitting a deep shot? Maybe he likes to throw it over the middle a lot, so it might be a Zach Ertz game against the blitz, or do the Bucs get home and kind of corral him and kind of make him stay in the pocket? I just think that's fun because I don't think either team's going to shy away from what they do. I mean, that's how they got here. So I'm really, really excited to watch those third and fourth downs and how Daniels and the Commanders' offensive line handle the blitzes that the Bucs are obviously going to show.
It's going to be fascinating, and you're so right that week one was so long ago that you really can't draw much from that. But in that answer, in that game, one of the things I find fascinating is Jaden ran a lot in that game. I think he had 13 carries, which would probably be a season high, 16 carries rather. As the season progressed, his eyes slowed down. He stayed in the pocket, started beating people. Then as the season continued, he started using his legs more once he got over that little bit of a rib thing and was incredibly effective. I still think he could be the leading rusher in this game, and that's good for Washington.
I think he will be. And also, it's like, I think that is the best answer for Commanders for this game, for Washington this game, is obviously they're rookie star quarterback is a good answer, but his legs, I mean, I think that's how they're going to find the explosive plays, because if your team's blitzing you, you don't want to live with 4 yard gains. That's what the defense wants. You want to scare them out of it with 20 yard gains, touchdowns. You saw the whole Bengals team get defeated when Daniels hits that one shot, against the blitz against them. But the thing is too, is you just brought up the point that he might be the leading rusher, and that's kind of a good and another kind of point or a thing I'm looking at in this game, is that the Commanders' run offense has been good this year. And I would even say one of the most, I wouldn't say underrated, but surprising good run games. I always thought Cliff Kingsbury had a good run game when he was with the Cardinals, which was kind of an underrated aspect of his offense. But then I thought Bobby Johnson and the offensive line coach of the Commanders did a really good job this year. Really diverse run game. The stat I always like to look at is rushing success rate, which is successful play for the offense. So five or more yards on first down, half the gain, goal to gain or down to gain, distance to gain, I'm sorry, on second down. Commanders are top three on early down rushing success rate. Bucks have the best run defense in the NFL on early downs. They're led by a guy named Vita Vea, who is
stunned.
You can't miss him. That's why I think that might be tough sledding for the Commanders. They're going to try, but again, that's where, going to your point, that I think Daniels will be the leading runner because of the scrambles, but also they might have some tough sledding on early downs trying to run the ball.
What do you feel their chances are? A lot of people look at the fact that they play teams, and they point out that they play teams that aren't in the playoffs. Well, people that aren't in the playoffs beat some of these teams that people lose their minds over. So, what do you feel the Washington chances are?
Oh, I mean, I think this game's going to go down to the wire, which, considering how the Commanders' season has gone this year, might not be the worst thing, because that's kind of their thing. The last 4 minutes of the game, let's start doing some stuff. I really do think this is going to just be a tight, tight game. It really come down to some of those big plays. I think on the other side of the ball, ever since the Washington moved Mike Sainristil out to the outside corner, I felt like their pass defense has gotten a lot better. They still give up explosives, but it's not the worst defense or one of the worst defenses. It's more like average-ish, at the very least, I think. But I think that's a big difference, I think, compared to week one as well. And I think that's something some people are underrating about this Commanders team, because there's so much focus on the offense, and then you kind of wave away the defense. Oh, yeah, sure. Payne, yeah, Jonathan Allen's back. Yeah, that's fine. But I do think that matters going against this team, because the Bucs' offense is very good. I think that's more evenly matched than I think some people are coming out to be. I think this one comes down the wire. I'm trying to remember what the spread was to maybe lean into that.
Dude, it's just
the Bucs are favored by 3.5. So I think the Commanders cover that at the very least, which I'm going to say that means I think it's going to be a field goal or less game either way. I know it's kind of stays in my own, so I don't want to like go either way.
Nah, man, you're cool either way. We'd always just have the real conversation, but I think if you've been watching Washington for the last month, you'd be nuts to not think it comes down to the wire. whether they win or lose, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And they've done really well at being on the right side of those.
Yep, and that's, again, that speaks to Jaden Daniels' play, is that he can open the game up when it gets like that and turn, shoot, some some bad situations he had. I'm remembering, what was it, 2 weeks ago, the third or the fourth down scramble he had, or the third and forever scramble he had. Like, that's the thing, is he always has that element he can throw in, and it's a really good element against this defense that's going to be aggressive. And they're not going to shy away from it. So that's he's the equalizer. So yeah, it's not fair to put it all on a rookie quarterback, but a lot's going to come down to him. And that's kind of how the playoffs are. It's not fun. It's not easy for anybody.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Nate. Speaking with Nate Tice, you can read his work, NFL.com, Yahoo Sports. He's all over the place. Football 301 is the podcast. Let's zoom out from just the Commanders Bucks, because obviously that's going to be an awesome game. But, you know, Saturday's games, seems like the whole world has the Chargers going into Houston and winning. I get that you've got Harbaugh on one side, but, I mean, Houston won a wild card round game last year and kind of took the Ravens, you know, into the fourth quarter in that division round. Do you think folks are – I know it's been an up-and-down season for Houston, but do you think folks are overlooking them at all?
A little, because I don't think people realize how good their defense is and how good their pass rush is. I just said, you know, Jaden being a quarterback is the great equalizer. I think on the defensive side, a good pass rush is the great equalizer, especially when it comes into playoffs. Shoot, remember the Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl a few years ago? Mahomes couldn't even throw the ball because the Bucks pass rush was just so good in that game. So I do think that the Texans do have that. Like, they have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And yes, the strength of the Chargers' offensive line is their tackles, but their guards aren't that great, and their interior isn't that great, and pressure can throw off any quarterback, even one as good as Justin Herbert. So I do think that element has been overlooked a little bit. I will say that the other side of the ball is what scares me for the Texans. So I think I am part of more to the consensus in this game, where I am leaning Chargers, because I do think that the Texans' offensive line is just that bad. And I just think that the Chargers defense is very disciplined. They are very well game planned as well. Jesse Minter, their defense coordinator, is phenomenal and getting the most out of his guys. And they really squeeze things. They're really tight on things. They allow the fewest amount of yards after the catch in the NFL. Like, they're good tackling, just a very sound team. And why I'm saying that is I don't think the Texans are very well coached on offense. I think their offensive line is fairly poorly coached. And I think that the Chargers are going to be able to get after it. The Texans also can't run the ball. They're the worst rushing offense in the NFL. That success rate stat that I just brought up, but really any stat you look at. And it's just a lot on CJ Stroud. And it's a lot on CJ Stroud that's going to be on third and long. Without Tank Dell now, just Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, who are still, I mean, Nico Collins is a top 6-7 receiver in the NFL. I mean, he's really taking a leap this year, but we're going against the Chargers, who will double team number one option. They will really have really intricate game plans. That's why I really like Minter. So it's just, I don't see what I like to call a natural answer for the Texans outside of, like, hey, CJ Stroud, blackout.
Right.
That is kind of, and that can happen. Don't get me wrong. You want a quarterback that can reach those highs, but it's just, The floor is pretty low for that Texans team right now, and that's why I think I'm a little with the consensus, where I'm a little worried about how the Texans are going to be able to move the ball outside a few shot plays in Nico Collins.
Well, what about that? The Steelers-Ravens game, Zay Flowers again not practicing. Sure looks – I'm not going to rule him out. I mean, who knows what happens by Saturday night, but he missed every practice this week. If they don't have Zay – Pittsburgh can still play defense. I don't know what their offense can do, but I mean, that number seems awfully big with Zay Flowers on the sideline. What do you think of that Steelers-Ravens game?
Well, and also, I don't mind the Ravens going into big bodies. They're comfortable doing it, literal big bodies with Patrick Ricard or a tight end or an extra lineman or something of that sort. I mean, Derrick Henry makes it big bodies by default anyways. But I do think the Steelers have always played Lamar tough, because they're one of the best teams that against quarterback runs. I feel like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders found that out when they played the Steelers earlier this year too. Really good against scrambles, really good against design runs. They make you stay from the pocket. Lamar has been he was my MVP pick. I think that I've always thought he's been underrated as an operator from the pocket, and I'm glad a lot of people are like, oh, wow, he's pretty good at it. So I think that that's why that is going to be a good answer no matter what for the Ravens. I also think the Steelers are kind of backwards what you would think about them. When they have big bodies on defense, they're not as good as they are when they have light bodies with DBs out there and nickel and dime, which is not what you would think with the Steelers. You're thinking, oh, no, big bodies, they're going to be good at it. But so I think that the Ravens, again, I'm going to use that term, have a natural answer against them. I think that just really their offense has been explosive. Rashad Bateman's come on, and Joey Porter Jr. might take that, you know, might take him away out of the game, which isn't that hard. But I do think the Ravens have tight ends. And they also have the run game that they can always rely on. So that's why I do think, even without Zay Flowers, that they do still have alternative answers. But I do agree that that is a big spread. I will say on the other side of the ball is the Ravens' defense the first half of the year was, I mean, atrocious. They allowed – they're really good against the run. But defending the pass, they were the worst defense in allowing explosive passes. They were bottom 10 in allowing – in dropback success rate. They were 29th in net yards per attempt, so that's yards subtracted by sack yardage. And then since week 11, they changed their DBs. They benched Marcus Williams. They put Washington back there. They put Kyle Hamilton back at back at safety instead of the slot. And they've had the best pass defense in the NFL since week 11. Hmm. So, and they've limited explosive plays. The whole Steelers offense is based off running the ball first, running the ball second, running the ball third, running the ball fourth, and then throwing deep balls from Russell Wilson. The
balloon balls.
Yep, the moon balls. And Russell throws them as well as anybody. But if you they don't connect on those, the Steelers can't move the ball. That's their formula. And if the Ravens, who have been one of the best pass defenses in the NFL the last 2 months, kind of limit that, it could be a real tough slog for the Steelers offense, especially with the Ravens' run defense being so good. So this game, to me, is going to come down to those six moon balls. Like, and I say that jokingly, but I also say that pretty seriously, that it's going to come every go ball. Everyone should just hold their breath because those will decide the game. Wow. Every time you see Russell tilt his shoulder back.
I think you're right on there, dude. I that game could be interesting, but it of all these games, that's the only one I look at that if it's a blowout, won't shock me. I kind of think the Broncos might be able to keep pace with the Bills. Well, on Sunday, do you see anything surprising? Anything that you really like or think is a problem?
Maybe the Packers in an outright win over the Eagles. That's
the second time we've heard that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just me building fan fiction. But, you know, the more I look at it, the more, like, the Eagles defense, Jordan Love is a very specific quarterback. So, but I really like watching him. He's not everyone's cup of tea because he is a trick shot thrower. He's going to go for the big plays, like, and I get that. But the Eagles' defense doesn't do the things that can maybe take Love out of his game, which is they don't run a ton of man coverage, and they also don't blitz a ton. Those are the things that can lead to Love being volatile. He's really good against zone coverage. He's a top five quarterback, and all the metrics I list off over and over, top five quarterback against zone. This also talks about all the receivers the Packers have. They don't have maybe the best receivers, especially with Christian Watson out now, to beat man coverage over and over. We saw that against the Vikings a couple weeks ago, where they just couldn't get open. It just felt tight. And I just think this week, the Eagles are going to lean into zone. But this is where having multiple valid answers, maybe not alpha number one, but a lot of Bs, you know, a lot of number twos in this Packers receiving room, that's actually good against this Eagles team that runs zone coverage. They run zone coverage at the sixth highest rate on late downs, and they barely blitz, which, like I said, again, is something that can maybe limit Jordan Love and get him into his volatile kind of play. The other thing, though, is the Eagles are really good against to beat a Vic Fangio defense, you either got to run it on them or beat them over the top. They're really good at limiting explosive plays, and Jordan Love is very good at finding explosive plays, but Christian Watson's out. So that is the one element that has me a little antsy about the Packers, but I just think that they have natural answers, again, to beat this Eagles defense. And I think their defense has played well enough to, like, hold against that Eagles offense that's so explosive and just has to withstand the, you know, the 30 Saquon Barkley touches.
Yeah. I mean, Saquon just grinds you down in late in games, man. Hey, Nate, thank you so much for the time.
Appreciate
dude.
You,
really enjoyed talking.
No, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
All right, very cool, man. Nate Tice, read his work, Yahoo Sports, NFL Network. You can follow him at Nate_Tice. I mean, talking with Nate, a little bit of college football talk, then you get to the pros. Dude, I just saw a report, obviously, tonight, Notre Dame, Penn State, 7:30, Orange Bowl. You can watch it on ESPN. The line right now is the Irish favored by it was a point and a half. B, it just dropped to a point. Apparently, there's a flu outbreak in the Notre Dame locker room.
Whoa.
I don't know how that's going to impact things, but I know the flu ain't pleasant. No, man. It is the action is seriously heating up. Seriously, if you're into football, the next 5 days are among the best we're ever going to have. And if you're into the action heating up in the playoffs, the place to be is the ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Think about it. Tonight, Notre Dame, Penn State. Tomorrow night, Ohio State, Texas. Saturday, you've got two NFL wildcard games, Chargers, Texans, then Steelers, Ravens. Doesn't seem like Zay Flowers is going to play. B-Mitch been telling us all week that he thinks that number's too big for a division round game. It's 10 points. Sunday, Broncos, Bills, Packers, Eagles, then Commanders, Bucks, then to cap it all off, the Monday nighter, Vikings, Rams, and frankly, we don't even know where that game's going to be played with everything going on in L.A. This is the time to be on ESPN Bet Sportsbook. If you're looking at over-unders, passing yard bets. What about Drew Adler tonight, that Penn State quarterback? If he gets connected with that big tight end, that dude is a beast. Notre Dame loves to stop the run, but maybe Penn State gets the air game going. There is so much to look at, all the different point spreads. Maybe that Commanders number creeps up a little bit before game time. Maybe you get that up to 3.5. It gets pretty darn juicy. Player props. I got a feeling I'm going to be all over Jaden Daniels rushing yards in that game. I see it around 48, 49. You telling me Jaden can't get you 65 on the ground in Tampa? Lot to be interested in. And new ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And you can unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code RADIO to get started today. You got to follow that. You got to make sure odds and lines can be subject to change. Customers in Maryland and Virginia, if there is a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A lot of talk about Cliff Kingsbury all over the country lately. That's what happens when you're good and you work with a good young quarterback and things start to move.
Yeah, Jay, I think we got bigger information. All right, we go. Go ahead.
I understand we're working on a big scoop here.
It is.
But I think right now we're going with Cliff Kingsbury speaking to the media.
Vita Vea is obviously a big piece of that interior of the Bucs D line. Clay Kensey didn't play last time out. What kind of player is he, and how does that affect kind of the way that you guys go about run game and also rushing the passers?
Yeah, incredibly disruptive. You mentioned we didn't face him last time, but you watched him the previous year, really came on and has done the same throughout this season. Continues to get better, impacts the game in a bunch of ways, run game, pass game, and high motor, you know, one of the more disruptive interior players we played against.
Cliff, just to get it out of the way, obviously there's been talk about teams reaching out to you for interviews. What's your stance right now about, I know you can't talk right this now, but where are you at right now with that situation?
Yeah, I haven't had any discussions. Coaches, we pay representation to handle all that, and so they've handled all that. It's just been all Tampa Bay.
As far as Jaden, obviously this is another new experience for him. What do you, beyond the X's and O's and the game plan, do you do anything else for him this week to help him understand why there's a difference between the regular season and the playoffs?
No, he's done a great job of week in, week out, just say, what did we do good last game, what do we need to work on, and really attacking those areas. And so we've kept that same plan. He's a guy who likes competition, likes big moments, and so nothing has changed as far as preparation goes.
What's the biggest growth in his game since that first meeting?
Everything, really. I think just understanding the system. You know, the first game, we didn't know what we were or who we were, what he was, and so even me calling plays and understanding how to put him in better situations to be successful, and all the skill guys. How do we use this guy? So we've evolved a bunch, but I think you just watch his game and the way he played that first game. I mean, the very first pass he threw for like minus 20, like a backwards pass. And he's just come a long way. So it's a lot of hard work, a lot of mental reps. And so I'm anxious to see the second time around, you know, how far we've come as an entire unit.
Is there a moment for you with him that stands out, whether it's a throw or anything like that, more than others for him?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was the Cincy game for me. It's like crunch time. It's that last, I don't know, third or fourth down maybe, and I screwed up the play call, and so he just waves me off like, I got it, and he throws a touchdown to Terry. It's like, all right, you got it, dog. So I think it was more like that's where it's like, okay, he's very comfortable in the system, understanding what we're trying to accomplish, and you know, in those moments he wants the ball in his hands, and as a play caller, that's what you hope for at that position.
What have you seen from him just in his ability to compartmentalize and focus on what he needs to now and other stuff when he needs to?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of his strongest traits, is that he can process it really quickly and be on to the next play. He's not lingering on himself. He wants to be perfect. He wants to play great. He wants to win every rep. But once the play is over, he's on to the next one really quickly. And that's not easy to do as a young player or an established player even in this league, because you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have plays you wish you had back. But he can process it, move on. He can take hard coaching. And nobody's harder on themselves than him immediately after. And he's one of those guys that will give you the proper feedback as soon as you get to him. Hey, I should have done this, should have done that. And so it really makes it, you know, my job a lot easier when he's already kind of self-diagnosed what's going on in the play.
Bob mentioned how, like, his first practice, rookie minicamp, he was 7-on-7-y, completed everything, but he was also willing to take the check down.
Right.
He wasn't trying to hit home runs on everyone. Did that surprise you at all as a rookie coming in?
It did, yeah. The guy that, when he hit that Hail Mary and they did that video where he's like, we got us one, like, I felt like that guy after the first 7-on-7s, like, session. Because it was just next level kind of operation, finding the checkdowns, not forcing things for a young player to come in. And you could tell he studied it like crazy over the little break we had. So that was the first, we all kind of looked at each other like, wow, that was really good. And so I think we knew then that we had a chance to have a special player, and just then getting to see the humility, the hard work, all the things he's put into it, it just has evolved since then.
What percentage of the time is he making the right football play?
That's a great question. A high percentage, I would say. Like, he, the one thing that's shown up, I think, the last few, I would say probably the last month, when we've had to put the ball in his hands more because the run game hasn't been there. We played good teams that are good against the run, but I'd say just the negative plays, like the first, second down sacks, the sack number in general has gone up, and some of that's he's trying to take over and make the play. But I think for the most part, if you put those out, like, he's going to the right place for the ball the majority of the time.
What was your biggest lesson coming out of that first Tampa Bay game about, like, figuring out who you guys were?
Yeah, we needed to play with more tempo, more rhythm. We were doing a bunch of substituting and really slowing the game down, thinking that would help him, and I think it hurt us as a unit. You know, we play better with more rhythm and pace, and him getting on the ball and being able to have more time on the play clock to analyze and see what the defense is doing. And we really subbed a bunch. We played in some sets that were not as probably dynamic or having our best four or five skill players on the field at the same time. And I thought the coaching staff did a nice job of recognizing that and adjusting that moving forward.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. In week one, Terry had 2 catches, 10 yards. How much of that was due to kind of the newness of everything, not just Jaden? I think you described it as kind of in survival mode after that game between week two. How much of that was because of the newness, and how much of that was maybe what the Bucs were doing?
Yeah, I think we definitely did not have a good enough plan to get him the ball. And then Todd Bowles is a good defensive coach. So I don't, you know, having watched the game, it's hard to even watch because it's so different than what we are now. But he recognizes that's one of the best players in the league, and so he's going to do everything to take him away. And then I do a better job calling plays, and I think Jaden has evolved to a point now where when we have an opportunity to get Terry the ball, he's going to take advantage of it.
And then speaking of that Todd Bowles defense, as Super Bowl teams tend to have, they lost some players from that Super Bowl defense, but they've kind of since come back. Jordan Whitehead, Mike Edwards, Shaq Barrett specifically. I know Jordan's not going to be playing, but looking at Mike and Shaq and some of those other guys from that Super Bowl squad, how do you dive into any of that older tape to kind of look for some tendencies, or do you stick to more recent?
More recent. You know, he's done a great job evolving his defense. I think that's what I've been most impressed by with Coach Bowles is it's cyclical in this league, and they'll catch up to you as you go if you just do the same stuff. And he's done a great job evolving year in, year out, adapting to his personnel and continue to stay kind of on the cutting edge of the pressures and being able to disrupt offenses throughout his career.
Hey, Coach. Hi. Tampa Bay's defense is the second highest blitzing defense. They've got all kind of – they aggressively come at mm-hmm. you. Could you talk a little bit about how you all counter that and some key things that you all have to do, you know, to, you know.
Yeah, I think he's great at the pressures, knowing when to dial him up and call him. It's not just third down. Like, he has a great feel for your tendencies, what you've done throughout the season, and when to bring those pressures. And so I have to be great on my sequencing and play calling, and then just give Jaden answers for those pressures. Like, we got to be able to get the ball out of our hand. We can't take those first and second down sacks. And that's the biggest deal to me is making sure he has an outlet on every play, that if they're going to bring the pressure, hey, let's get a completion, try to make a guy miss in space, and we'll play the next play. But if you don't have answers, he'll make it a long day for you.
And we talked to the players about being in the playoffs. Some of them are there for the first time. But could you talk a little bit about yourself, about being back in the playoffs and how exciting that is for you?
It is. It's very exciting. It's hard to get here. I think that's what these young players need to understand, is that there's a lot of veterans that have played 10, 12 years. It's like the third time, second time they've even got in. And we got in the 1 year in Arizona, and it was not a great game, but it was a lot of work to get there. And so I think just being in the moment, understanding how fortunate we are to be in this position, and we won the last four games by on the last play, and it can go like that in this league. So we got to make sure we appreciate it and take advantage of the opportunity.
I know the focus is on Tampa, but as a quick follow to what Sandy has, do you plan to take interviews for head coaching jobs?
I'm not going to touch on that. Yeah, just focusing on Tampa.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
All right, Cliff is focused on Tampa. So are we.
Yep.
Plus, folks, I don't know how to handle this. Landfill tells me he has huge breaking news that will be revealed when we return. Seriously, you're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Mm.
All right. I'm in Ashburn. The rest of the boys are holding it down in studio in the Navy Yard. I got to be honest, I don't know what's going on, but apparently there is big breaking news. I'm turning it over to B or Landfill, whoever's in charge here.
Landfill, you got it?
Yeah, I think I got it mostly. I can
well, the sounder and
I'm
everything.
I'm going to just say this to JP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set up a little thing for you and let Landfill take it from there.
Okay.
We're asked for something from Landfill a lot. And there are many, many different ways you can utilize it or use it or things you can get. He got the big kahuna. I'm going to just say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, Scotty G in the chat just said JP always has the worst breaking news. This ain't mine, dog.
Mm-hmm.
This is Landfill.
This is mine, yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Okay.
All right, so you know there's like only two things in the world I care about, which is napping and Odyssey points.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every time we have this system here at work where you can give out points to your coworkers if they did a good job. And
even if they don't do a good job, they just want your damn point.
But what I do is correct. I just ask everybody who works here for their points, because you can trade them in and get like blankets and stuff. And I like blankets.
I know the blanket's been on your mind.
Yeah. I got a Stanley Cup. There's like a phone bank battery charger situation going on. There's a lot of cool stuff you can get. So I ask everybody here, and most people are willing to help me out. So it actually turns out I got so many Odyssey points that corporate noticed, and they think that I'm doing a great job because everybody
wow.
here is sending me the Odyssey points. So they gave me $1,000.
They fooled on that, yeah.
No, hold up.
He actually won the damn
$1,000 cash?
Yeah, you know the thing I told you I took my points and I put in?
Yeah.
Landfill won it.
Nah. He didn't win that.
No, I didn't win the contest.
It was another winner for the contest.
Yeah.
They
hold
gave
on.
It to him.
Landfill, they just gave you a G?
Yep. He's not getting our points no more. Because he's not doing that damn good of a job.
What? I mean,
He tricked the system, dog. He tricked the system.
Tell me you don't listen to our show without telling me you don't listen to our show. Hey, Jim Andrew Mullins the 10th, because of how much you love this company, here's $1,000. Congratulations, brother. I am happy of people.
I love it, Landfill. Hell.
I mean, that is amazing, yeah. Professor. Well done.
So I'm going to have to buy everybody lunch someday at some point.
Like, today you'll be fine, Landfill.
Yeah. No, I mean.
No, I'm not there.
There are a lot
That's
of people involved.
Don't worry, Jeffy. Stevie, you coming back?
Stevie.
He got $1,000.
Heavy Metal Chris, Matt Essig, Vic.
So, hey, what you just did.
Has all of those people just been giving you their points nonstop?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Jeff is really the most consistent. Jeff is Jeff's the MVP here. We also got to shout out Brendan Darr and Cody Shook, who are kind of OGs in the Odyssey Points hustle.
Sure.
Yeah, this is – oh, but you know who deserves absolutely zero thanks are Darris Dameron and Ryan Clary, who have refused – on multiple occasions.
Well,
to,
now that they know this, you will never get
bleep
them.
You early yeah. with that one.
Bleep you to them. I also got to add a bleep you to Denton Day and a bleep you to Anthony Haney, who repeatedly refused to help me out with Odyssey points.
You think you're going to get any more Odyssey points now that you won that?
No.
They're going to start asking everybody.
I think you're out of the hustle, dude.
I am, but I have 30 to give away every month, and I'm happy to recognize people who are just doing a great job.
But it's also like, yo, you could be out of the hustle now because you've won.
You've won a G. Yeah, I won.
Like, that's more. Most people at the Odyssey company make less than that a month.
I'm not going to go that far. I've definitely
every
won
2 weeks
the Odyssey points game.
I'm proud of you, dude. I like when people figure out the system. Mm-hmm. Like, you know when
oh, they
so
trick
like when
the
dude,
system.
Yeah, when guys get caught counting cards in Vegas, it's not illegal to do, but they just ban you from the casino.
Yeah.
Landfill basically cracked the code to counting Odyssey points,
mm-hmm.
and they gave you a G for it. Now, you probably won't be able to do it again.
I'm going
to
retire.
However, you got the $1,000.
I'm retiring from the Odyssey. I'm announcing it here, like Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. I'm going out on top.
Are you retiring or just retiring from
retiring
the Odyssey
from
points?
The Odyssey
from
points.
The Odyssey points, yeah.
I don't the G is nice, Landfill, but I don't think the G is enough to retire with.
No, just from the Odyssey points hustle.
Can I ask, is the Cluster Buster in the office today? Is
yeah,
he
Cluster
aware
Buster
of
was
your...
the one that let him know.
No, they sent an email to me, CK, who's our boss here, and then the big boss at Odyssey DC, Ivy. They sent her on that email as well.
Have Ivy or CK responded?
Oh, CK responded.
CK
yeah.
came in. He just let everybody know.
What did he say? Just congrats to Landfill?
He said, just make sure you tell JP on air.
Exactly what he said.
I am cool. I am happy for you, Professor Landini.
I'm pumped.
There's a number of other comments I would love to make that I'm going to keep to myself
mm-hmm.
for just, you know, a lot of different reasons. Brian, what was your initial response?
I was shocked.
Shock's a good one. I am legitimately very happy for Landfill. I think that is just a testament to a truly well-run company from the corporate level. I think it's terrific. And Jeff, Jeffrey, what about you? Jeff, what do you think, honestly,
Jeff
your cut should
Jeff
be?
Was pissed. Jeff say,
oh,
Jeff,
stop
Jeff
said, it.
He said, man, we're a tag team. You're supposed to give me half.
I did not say that. I said for real, and I laughed because this is hilarious.
Oh, my Lord.
Landfill, nobody I could think of more deserving than you, buddy.
Thank you, JP.
Congratulations. Now, the people in the chat are pissed because you guys told me that this was real breaking news. So
hey,
I
man,
set it
if
up
they got $1,000, they'll be happy too. To hell with that being pissed. Who cares? Landfill was happy with this thing, man.
Yo, and if I may, if you listen to our program enough and you care about our program enough that you're hanging out in the stream on YouTube in the chat, you know that unless
you hear the actual sounder, it's
probably
gonna be some BS.
Yeah.
You know that.
But yo, if you're mad at Landfill, Fire away. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is Bleep You Thursday. Phone lines are open. Fire at will, folks.